The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's Monday. Time to start over again and maybe get it right this time. Good morning. I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Monday, March 27th, 2023. Monday of the fifth week of Lent. In the Missal, it's liturgical year A, cycle one. Monday is a day to pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Rupert, born in 660, a member of a noble Frankish family. He was appointed Bishop of Worms, Germany. With the patronage of Duke Fedo of Bavaria, he took over the deserted town of Jubavum. About 697, it was renamed Salzburg, Austria. Rupert founded a church, a monastery, and a school. He brought in groups of missionaries and established a nunnery at Nürnberg with his sister as the first abbess. Rupert died at Salzburg in 717. He's venerated as the first archbishop of this major diocese in the West. Rupert is revered as the apostle of Bavaria and Austria. Saint Rupert, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. God, you know the desires of our hearts for authentic peace, justice, and love. I offer you my prayers, thoughts, words, actions, joys, and sufferings today, together with Jesus, who continues to offer himself to us in the Eucharist, who continues to reveal himself to us in the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, the unborn, the most vulnerable in our world. May your Holy Spirit be my guide and strength today, so that I may be a witness to your love, your justice, and your peace, and to the sanctity of each human life. Together with Mary, our mother, sister, and friend, she who carried the Savior in her womb, with all the communion of saints, and with all of us who offer ourselves to you for the good of others today, we pray. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying for those who have suffered harm from members of the Church. May they find within the Church herself a concrete response to their pain and suffering. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the Gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Jesus, whenever you go to the Mount of Olives, we usually see you there praying. St. Luke even says that that was your custom, to go there and pray. And it seems like once again you prayed all night long, because right after you go to the Mount of Olives, the Gospel writer says, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area. Once again, Jesus, we see you talking with God, with your Father, about the people you're going to talk to, much earlier than you talk to the people about your Father, about God. That's just a little reminder, Jesus, to us that prayer comes first. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. This poor woman, Jesus, her private sin is being exposed to public derision and disdain. She's surrounded by a mob, each person with a rock in their fist. Maybe two or three people holding her down or in place by her arms or her hair, and yet she's very much alone. very, very much alone. Her clothes and her hair disheveled from all the jostling, her makeup smeared by tears and slaps, maybe a few swollen, bleeding lumps on her face or head or arms from over-anxious rabble-rousers who've already thrown their stone. And she's standing in the middle. Everyone else is standing around. The Pharisees and the scribes, they don't really care about her. They don't even care about the law. They don't care about truth or justice. All they want to do is to catch you, Lord, to have something with which to accuse you. They're actually hoping that you say something heretical or blasphemous so that they can use it against you. They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear the law. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. "Jesus, you handled the situation pretty well. They're trying to provoke you, and you take it calmly and avoid the confrontation. Crouch down and start drawing on the ground with your finger." "Dassler, I don't know how many times in my life I've wanted to know what you were writing on the ground. Were you writing her name? The names of the scribes and the Pharisees? Some message to your Father God? Maybe a picture of Mary, of Joseph? What were you drawing on the ground? Obviously, it's not necessary for our salvation that we know what you were drawing on the ground. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would have inspired St. John to write that in his gospel. So it's not that important. But it is interesting, Lord. Where else does God write in the Bible, especially with his finger?" "Well, one case is in Daniel chapter 5, where God's hand appears and it writes in the plaster of the wall in the palace of King Belshazzar, the Babylonian king. And God writes three mysterious words, which the prophet Daniel interprets as the fall of King Belshazzar. So when God writes with his finger in Daniel, it's judgment. But in Exodus, a long time before Daniel, it says this: "When God had finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two stone tablets of the testimony, written with the finger of God." So in Daniel, you wrote judgment. And in Exodus, you wrote the law, both with your finger. You know, that reading from Exodus is pretty interesting, since you're writing the law, if we combine it with another reading from Jeremiah: "I will put my law within them, I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So instead of writing the law on stone tablets, you will write it on their hearts. And that reminds us of another reading from Ezekiel: "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take out your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to observe my ordinances." Wow. Gosh, Lord, it seems like you, in a certain sense, you're rewriting the law on our hearts. The law that the scribes and the Pharisees invoked in order to be able to stone this adulterous woman, you write it in a different way on our hearts. You write it not just with cold human justice, but with divine mercy. And here we see that perhaps that's what you were writing, that you were writing for the conversion of the scribes and the Pharisees. Because when they pressed you, you stood up and you said, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And they walked away, one by one, beginning with the elders. Your literal words, Jesus, invite them to throw the stone. "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." But it also invites them to examine their consciences. And they look at the adulterous woman, and they see in her a little bit of themselves, sinfulness. They're guilty too. But you squatted down and started writing on the ground a second time. Maybe this time it was for the conversion of the adulterous woman. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the middle. Then Jesus straightened up and asked her, and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." While Jesus rewriting divine love on the human heart, it seems like you managed to get a conversion from the scribes and the Pharisees, at least for now, and also from this woman. But there's a big difference between convicting and condemning, and convicting and converting. You did not acquit this woman. You convicted her. You did not deny that she had sinned, and sinned gravely, but you prefer her life. Another reading from Ezekiel comes to mind. "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the depths of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." To God, we always return through Mary. We ask Mary to achieve for us the conversion that we need, that God may write on our hearts his law of divine love. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 15 minutes past the hour, and this is Daybreak. It's Monday of the fifth week of Lent, March 27th, 2023. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We join the whole church in prayer as we begin the liturgical day. We're led by our friends at divineoffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon the earth, and all nations learn your saving help.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing, till the ends of the earth revere him.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe.
Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe.
Lord, do not reprove me in your anger. Punish me not in your rage. Have mercy on me, Lord, I have no strength. Lord, heal me. My body is racked. My soul is racked with pain. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, Lord, rescue my soul. Save me in your merciful love. For in death no one remembers you. From the grave, who can give you praise? I am exhausted with my groaning. Every night I drench my pillow with tears. I bedew my bed with weeping. My eye wastes away with grief. I have grown old, surrounded by my foes. Leave me, all of you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will accept my prayer. All my foes will retire in confusion, foiled, and suddenly confounded.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, you love mercy and tenderness. You give life and overcome death. Look upon the many wounds of your church. Restore it to health by your risen Son, so that it may sing a new song in your praise.
Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe.
The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them.
The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them.
I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will recount all your wonders. I will rejoice in you and be glad, and sing psalms to your name, O Most High. See how my enemies turn back, how they stumble and perish before you. You upheld the justice of my cause. You sat enthroned, judging with justice. You have checked the nations, destroyed the wicked, and have wiped out their name forever and ever. The foe is destroyed, eternally ruined. You uprooted their cities. Their memory has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has set up his throne for judgment. He will judge the world with justice. He will judge the peoples with his truth. For the oppressed, let the Lord be a stronghold in times of distress. Those who know your name will trust you. You will never forsake those who seek you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them.
I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather.
I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather.
Sing psalms to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim his mighty works among the peoples. For the avenger of blood has remembered them, has not forgotten the cry of the poor. Have pity on me, Lord. See my sufferings. You who save me from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praise at the gates of the city of Zion and rejoice in your saving help. The nations have fallen into the pit which they made, their feet caught in the snare they laid. The Lord has revealed himself and given judgment. the wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. Let the wicked go down among the dead, all the nations forgetful of God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hopes of the poor be in vain. Arise, Lord, let men not prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Lord, strike them with terror. Let the nations know that they are but men.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, when you judge, do not be deaf to the shouts of the poor. Bring havoc to the madness of oppressors. Look at our wounds and save us from the gates of death, so that we may always rejoice in your help and speak your praise in the gates of Zion.
I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather.
Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. God did not make the world to come, the world of which we speak, subject to angels. Somewhere this is testified to in the passage that says, "What is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put all things under his feet." In subjecting all things to Christ, God left nothing unsubjected. At present, we do not see all things thus subject, but we do see Jesus crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. Jesus, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, that through God's gracious will he might taste death for the sake of all men. Indeed, it was fitting that when bringing many sons to glory, God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make their leader in the work of salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are consecrated have one and the same Father. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, "I will announce your name to my brothers. I will sing your praise in the midst of the assembly. And I will put my trust in him." And again, "Here I am, and the children God has given me." Now, since the children are men of blood and flesh, Jesus likewise had a full share in ours, that by his death he might rob the devil, the prince of death, of his power, and free those who through fear of death had been slaves their whole life long. Surely he did not come to help angels, but rather the children of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God on their behalf to expiate the sins of the people. Since he was himself tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are tempted. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ, who sanctifies men, and the men who are sanctified, are of the same stock. He had to become like his brothers in every respect,
in order to be their compassionate and faithful high priest.
God was seen on earth, he lived among men,
in order to become their compassionate and faithful high priest.
A reading from the Commentary on the Psalms by St. John Fisher, Bishop and Martyr. Our High Priest is Christ Jesus. Our sacrifice is his precious body, which he immolated on the altar of the cross for the salvation of all men. The blood that was poured out for our redemption was not that of goats or calves, as in the old law, but that of the most innocent lamb, Christ Jesus, our Savior. The temple in which our high priest offered sacrifice was not one made by hands, but built by the power of God alone, for he shed his blood in the sight of the world, a temple fashioned by the hand of God alone. This temple, however, has two parts. The first is the earth, which we now inhabit. The second is as yet unknown to us mortals. Christ first offered sacrifice here on earth, when he underwent his most bitter death. Then, clothed in the new garment of immortality, with his own blood he entered into the Holy of Holies, that is, into heaven. There he also displayed before the throne of the Heavenly Father that blood of immeasurable price, which he had poured out seven times on behalf of all men subject to sin. This sacrifice is so pleasing and acceptable to God that as soon as he has seen it, he must immediately have pity on us and extend clemency to all who are truly repentant. Moreover, it is eternal. It is offered not only each year, as with the Jews, but also each day for our consolation, and indeed at every hour and moment as well, so that we may have the strongest reason for comfort. That is why the Apostle adds, "He has secured an eternal redemption." All who have embarked on true contrition and penance for the sins they have committed, and are firmly resolved not to commit sins again for the future, but to persevere constantly in that pursuit of virtues which they have now begun, all these become sharers in this holy and eternal sacrifice. St. John sets this before us in these words, "My little children, I am writing this to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for those of the whole world. If, when we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son,
now that we are his friends, we can be even more sure that we shall be saved by the life of his Son.
When we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Now that we are his friends, we can be even more sure that we shall be saved by the life of his Son.
Let us pray. O God, by whose wondrous grace we are enriched with every blessing, grant us so to pass from former ways to newness of life, that we may be made ready for the glory of the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
24 minutes before the hour, today's gospel is coming right up in just a few minutes, along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Monday, March 27, 2023, Monday of the fifth week of Lent. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, it's a story of forgiveness. From the eighth chapter of the Gospel of John.
Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him,
"Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say about her?"
This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up.
Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.
And once more he bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus looked up.
Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?
No one, Lord.
Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. We have talked about confession and absolution, but there's one more thing, and that's doing your penance. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. Satisfaction is the final act which crowns the sacramental sign of penance. In some countries, the act which the forgiven and absolved penitent agrees to perform after receiving absolution is precisely called his penance. Our sins, even after they have been forgiven, deserve a temporal punishment which has to be undergone in this life or after death in purgatory, which is where those souls go who die in a state of grace but without having made full satisfaction for their sins. Moreover, after its reconciliation with God, there are still left in the soul the remains of sin, a weakness of the will to abide in good. There will remain also a certain facility for making wrong judgments, a certain disorder in the sensual appetite. They are the weakened scars of actual sin and the disordered tendencies left in man by original sin, which are brought to a head by our personal sins. It is not enough to remove the arrow from the body, says St. John Chrysostom. We also have to heal the wound caused by the arrow. It is the same with the soul. After we have received forgiveness for our sins, we have to heal the wound that remains through penance. Even after absolution, John Paul II teaches, there remains in the Christian a dark area due to the wound of sin, to the imperfection of love in repentance, to the weakening of the spiritual faculties. It is an area in which there still operates an infectious source of sin which must always be fought with mortification and penance. This is the meaning of the humble but sincere act of satisfaction. For all of these reasons, we must put a lot of love into fulfilling the penance the priest gives us before granting absolution. It is usually very easy to perform, and if we really love God, we will be aware of the great disparity there is between our sins and the penance we have been given. It is yet another reason for increasing our spirit of penance during this Lent, when the Church calls us to it in a special way. Invoke the heart of Holy Mary, with the purpose and determination of uniting yourself to her sorrow, in reparation for your sins and the sins of men of all times, and pray to her for every soul, that her sorrow may increase in us our aversion from sin, and that we may be able to love the physical or moral contradictions of each day as a means of expiation. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 16 before the hour. We pray with the whole Church, as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org, a lay apostolate promoting the prayer of the Liturgy of the Hours by all of the faithful. We join together now in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I lift up my heart to you, O Lord, and you will hear my morning prayer.
I lift up my heart to you, O Lord, and you will hear my morning prayer.
To my words give ear, O Lord. Give heed to my groaning. Attend to the sound of my cries, my King and my God.
It is you whom I invoke, O Lord. In the morning you hear me. In the morning I offer you my prayer, watching and waiting.
You are no God who loves evil. No sinner is your guest. The boastful shall not stand their ground before your face.
You hate all who do evil. You destroy all who lie. The deceitful and bloodthirsty man the Lord detests.
But I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. I bow down before your holy temple, filled with awe.
Lead me, Lord, in your justice. Because of those who lie in wait, make clear your way before me.
No truth can be found in their mouths. Their heart is all mischief, their throat a wide open grave. All honey their speech.
All those you protect shall be glad and ring out their joy. You shelter them. In you they rejoice, those who love your name.
It is you who bless the just man, Lord. You surround him with favor, as with a shield.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, all justice and all goodness comes from you. You hate evil and abhor lies. Lead us, your servants, in the path of your justice, so that all who hope in you may rejoice with the church and in Christ.
I lift up my heart to you, O Lord, and you will hear my morning prayer.
We praise your glorious name, O Lord, our God.
We praise your glorious name, O Lord, our God.
Blessed may you be, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, from eternity to eternity.
Yours, O Lord, are grandeur and power, majesty, splendor, and glory.
For all in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the sovereignty. You are exalted as head over all.
Riches and honor are from you, and you have dominion over all. In your hands are power and might. It is yours to give grandeur and strength to all.
Therefore, our God, we give you thanks, and we praise the majesty of your name.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
We praise your glorious name, O Lord, our God.
Adore the Lord in his holy court.
Adore the Lord in his holy court.
O give the Lord, you sons of God, give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name. Adore the Lord in his holy court.
The Lord's voice resounding on the waters. The Lord on the immensity of waters. The voice of the Lord full of power. The voice of the Lord full of splendor.
The Lord's voice shattering the cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The Lord's voice flashes flames of fire.
The Lord's voice shaking the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's voice rending the oak tree and stripping the forest bare.
The God of glory thunders. In his temple they all cry, Glory! The Lord sat enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits as King forever.
The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You live forever, Lord and King. All things of the earth justly sing your glory and honor. Strengthen your people against evil, that we may rejoice in your peace and trust in your eternal promise.
Adore the Lord in his holy court.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Yet I, like a trusting lamb led to slaughter, had not realized that they were hatching plots against me. Let us destroy the tree in its vigor. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will be spoken no more. But you, O Lord of hosts, O just judge, searcher of mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them, for to you I have entrusted my cause. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare. From those who would trap me with lying words.
And from the hunter's snare.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
Whoever follows me does not walk in the dark. He will have the light of life.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Whoever follows me does not walk in the dark. He will have the light of life.
Let us pray. Praise to Jesus, our Savior. By his death, he has opened for us the way of salvation. Let us ask him,
Lord, guide your people to walk in your ways.
God of mercy, you gave us new light through baptism.
Make us grow day by day in your likeness.
Lord, guide your people to walk in your ways.
May your generosity today bring joy to those in need.
In helping them, may we find you.
Lord, guide your people to walk in your ways.
Help us to do what is good, right, and true in your sight.
And to seek you always with undivided hearts.
Lord, guide your people to walk in your ways.
Forgive our sins against the unity of your family.
Make us one in heart and spirit.
Lord, guide your people to walk in your ways.
We pause in silence to remember our own petitions. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, guide your people to walk in your ways.
Let us conclude our prayers with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, by whose wondrous grace we are enriched with every blessing, grant us so to pass from former ways to newness of life, that we may be made ready for the glory of the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
It's time to start getting ready for Holy Week, because Palm Sunday is this coming Sunday. Morning Air is coming up next. Patrick Madrid a bit later on. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's get together again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. You go out and make this a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.